God, and people began to receive help from the Lord, and the Spirit of God just took the service a different direction. But I was going to preach this last Thursday night, so I'm going to go ahead and preach it tonight, and I'm going to try to just move through it. The title tonight is Light and Sight. Our scripture that we're going to begin with is found in John chapter 1, verse number 1. It's a very familiar portion of scripture, one of my favorite portions of scripture. And if you find that, or it may be up behind me there on the screen, stand with us for the reading of this portion of God's Word. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life." I want you to put a mental remembrance on that. Think on that. In Him was life. And then what did that life do? And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise our God. Hallelujah. You can be seated again tonight. Light and sight. Notice the emphasis here. Jesus is the light. He was the light of men. He was the light of men because in him was life. Hallelujah. And so what I want to deal with here tonight, I want to give you this synopsis as we begin. I want to deal here tonight about the light of God and how the light shines into the world. The light shines to individuals, but not everybody has sight of that light. Even though the light comes their direction, some don't see what the light is bringing. Some do. So we're going to deal with light without sight and light with sight. Amen. Jesus Christ was the light. He was the light of the world. He came into the world. Verse 9 says he was the true light. We learn that John the Baptist was to bring people to the light. He was to prepare the way for the light. Distinctly tells us John was not the light, but he was the one to preach and bring men to the light. And so John's preaching and John's teaching was to bring people face to face with Jesus Christ when he came on the scene. And we know that John made that proclamation, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." But not everybody receives sight of that. Not everybody perceived that. Not everybody believed that. And so I want you to start linking together believe and sight are synonyms. Believe and sight are the same thing in God's Word. For me to believe in Christ is for me to see Christ. Hallelujah. You see, a lot of people are still wandering around and saying, "Oh, well, just show me Jesus. Show me Jesus." The Pharisees were the same way. They said, "Show us the Father." And what did Jesus say? He said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." You see, that's how it's supposed to be in your life and my life. If they have seen me, they have seen Jesus. So, what kind of Jesus do you have? What kind of Jesus do I have? What kind of Jesus am I presenting to a world that doesn't have sight? What kind of light am I bringing to a world that doesn't have sight? You see, Jesus was in the world, and he came to his own, and verse 11 tells us that his own received him not. It also told us in verse number 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, didn't see it. That's strange, isn't it? Because did you realize that really there's no such thing as darkness? Darkness is just a byproduct of the absence of light. See, there is light, but darkness is only produced when there is no light. I shared it with us last Thursday night. I had an article that I read about the scientist and the student, and he boiled it all down when he got to the end of it. Where did evil come from? Evil is none other than the absence of God. See, God didn't create evil. People just went away from God, and that's how evil showed up. Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. They brought evil into the world because they went away from God. How'd they go away from God? By disobedience. He said, if you eat of that fruit, of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, light and darkness, you will die. What happened? Well, they didn't physically die. What happened? The light went out. The light went out. Now darkness prevailed inside of them. And then the whole promise of the Redeemer and the precious blood of the Lamb, the salvation of God, what was it to do? It was to restore the light. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. To that point, the presence of God was not there. That statement was not talking about the sun nor the moon. That was talking about the presence of God. Let there be light. Hallelujah. And so we see then when Jesus came into the world, he was the light of men. Hallelujah. And so we see then everything about Jesus Christ deals with light, and everything that is against Jesus Christ or not of the kingdom of God deals with darkness. Darkness. Light without sight is when you know. Well, let me read these scriptures. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And this is Matthew chapter 6, getting verse number 19. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, everything right, everything holy. I'm not seeing it quite right, but are you getting the picture? Single. All is well, because I'm going to dwell on the light. Woo. Because the eye is the light. Let me read on here. For the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now here's a statement that probably has confounded many. It's confounded me multitudes of times, because it says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, wait a minute. How in the world can light be darkness? Has anybody got a scientific answer for that? I don't. How can light be darkness? This is good. I mean, this is awesome. Because we're confounded here. Because if you're be evil, that just means it's not single. The light that's in you is darkness. And then he says, great is that darkness. I'm talking about light without sight. I'm talking about knowledge of the Holy One. I'm talking about knowledge of the Word of God. Knowledge of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. But not walking in the light. Not living holy. Not living righteous. Not being obedient. I know what's right. That's light. But then I do what's wrong. That's darkness. And great is that darkness. Did you ever read that scripture in there that Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and talking about the blind leading the blind and talking about how that they're going to make converts and they'll be double childs of hell or of the devil because what they do is not what God wants done, but they're doing it in a religious realm, claiming to be the children of God. Wolves in sheep's clothing. What is that? Light, but darkness. And great is that darkness. You see, I mean, really, the bottom line here is you're never going to win anybody to Jesus Christ if the light that is in you is never seen. If it's never voiced, if it's never proclaimed, if it's never displayed, then that's darkness. That's not life. You see, Sister Pepper, the reality is, yes, we are strangers, we are pilgrims, we are aliens in this world. We don't fit. We're the square peg and the world is the round hole. We don't fit into this world because why? We're children of the light. Hallelujah. And they're children of darkness. So we don't fit in this world. But you see, that's the whole point. We're not supposed to. Because light, what does it do? It pushes back darkness. Causes conflict. I don't know how to fully explain it, but if I went back there and started clicking off every one of those light switches, if you will, darkness is going, yes, 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 I have overcome light. And then I start pushing them back the other way, and they're going, oh no, oh no, here comes light again, and I have to flee. Whew. I just gave you the pattern of victory for your life and mine. Amen. You want victory over sin, then get full of light. Walk in the light. Hallelujah. Allow the light to bring you sight so that you can see the darkness that's coming upon you. Woo! Hallelujah. You see, light without sight is having that knowledge. And I got to move on here, but I want you to see here. He says you can't serve two masters. For either you'll hate the one and love the other, or else you'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is just basically the whole world system of greed, covetousness. Mammon is the way the world would do it. God's saying, if you know who I am, if your eye is single, you know who I am, you know what I have done. You know what I have done for you. But you won't be a light to shine for me. That's darkness. That's darkness. And great is the darkness. You're not serving me. You're serving mammon. You're afraid of the world. You're afraid of what they'll say. You're afraid they'll mock you. You're afraid they'll laugh at you. You're afraid that you're... Fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. What is that? That's light without sight. That just means I know who Jesus is. I know what Jesus has done. I know who God is. I know what God has done. I believe He's created all things. I believe He's the only true God. But don't ask me to stand up for Him. Great is that darkness. Great is that darkness. What is that? That's light without sight. You see, this one's talking about God and mammon, serving God and being that light to shine and putting your treasure on God and not your treasure on being accepted in this world. I think that's called peer pressure. Everybody knows what peer pressure is. Everybody knows, you know, we've talked about that pressure before. You know, I love to do this. I really do, because peer pressure is real. Just pressure is real. You know, I don't like people that, when they talk to you, you like this? I don't either. No. Peer pressure. You know, when folks just kind of come right up to you and say, what are you made of? How tough are you? What do you believe in? Are you one of them Bible thumpers? What? I don't hear you. I haven't got an answer. What's the deal, buddy? Do you feel a little pressure? I'm in your bubble, aren't you? I'm going to get in it deeper. Isn't that peer pressure? Now, if I'm over here talking to you, it ain't that big a deal, is it? You don't feel the same pressure. Mm-mm. The closer I get. See, I've already got him buffaloed. I mean, I've had him in school. He knows better. I mean, praise God. But it's real. It's pressure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You ever had Woody? No? Would you like him?
I wouldn't think you would.
Pressure. Yeah. You feel that. Here I come. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pressure? Pressure? Lots of it. Lots of it.
Lots of woodies.
Woo! Praise God. Peer pressure. It's real. It's just as real as can be. And we all, Sister Pepper, evidently faced it today. Some type of peer pressure. Some type of awkward situation. You know, awkward. You know, what is that? You know. They're doing something that you know ain't right, you know, but they're carrying on anyway, and you're going, oh, awkward, what am I going to do here? Am I just going to walk away, or am I going to open my mouth and say, y'all need to quit that? That ain't right. Oh, who are you? Uh-huh. So you're opening up a door for light to shine, for you to stand. Now, you may not come out on top according to the world, but when you stand for what's right in the midst of the world, you've come out on top, my friend. Because now you are putting light with sight, and you know that Jesus Christ is on your side and He's right there with you. Because you know Him. You have sight of Him. You see that He's there. You believe that He's there. You know that He's there. That's the sight. And so this one here is dealing with the fact of your treasures and your desires, and actually you're just really wanting the world more than you're wanting God, and but yet you know God's real. Maybe it'd be the backslider. But then in Luke 11 and 33, it says, no man, when he lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. See, same terminology here. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. The whole emphasis is knowing Jesus Christ, knowing Him full in everything that He has for us, and letting that light shine towards men. Not putting the light under a bushel, under a basket, but letting my light shine. What am I doing? I am repelling darkness. My whole desire is to repel darkness. It's not to obliviate the individual, but it is to let my light shine. And when the light switch is on, darkness is pushed back. You see, we've got to realize and we've got to understand that when we let our light shine, the power of God will rest upon us. It will push darkness back, and it will give us the opportunity to exalt Jesus Christ in all hopes that they'll turn from darkness to the marvelous light, the glorious light. It's called being a witness. Amen. Jesus spoke about it. He used it in two different directions here. In these Gospels. And so you can have all kinds of light, but still not have sight. I was there. I was. There's multitudes there in the hour we live in. Raised in church. I knew who Jesus was. I knew what He had done. I knew He was the Son of God. I knew He died on the cross. I knew He was put in the tomb. I knew He was raised the third day. I knew He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And I knew He was the Savior of the world. I knew there was only one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I knew every one of those things. There's not one thing that really you could talk to me about the doctrine of the Trinity and the doctrine of salvation that I did not know. But I had no sight. And that's exactly what the Holy Ghost had to do. He had to get me to the place where I couldn't go anywhere but to the light. And when He opened my blinded eyes, I had light. But then there was one morning at an old-fashioned altar prayer, I got sight. And I met Him. And I saw Him for who He is. See, all my knowledge was who He was. But that morning when I got sight, I found out who He is. He is my Savior. He is my God. Hallelujah. And He opened up my blinded eyes and He showed me my sin. And then He showed me His light. Hallelujah. And I was born again by the Spirit of God. My past sins were washed away and I was brought into the glorious kingdom of the Almighty God of heaven. Hallelujah. And I knew that I had met Jesus. Nobody had to tell me that. I knew that. Now I had sight. You see, when you have light with sight, you're a mighty moving force on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. You see, in Acts 26 and 18, Paul was talking there to Felix and Agrippa. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus Christ was speaking. Paul was sharing the story when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Guess what? He saw Jesus. He was blinded, but at the same time, he got sight. Hallelujah. Because he was another one. He knew exactly who Jesus was. He knew exactly what happened on Calvary. He knew exactly what had been proclaimed on the day of Pentecost. He knew exactly what Stephen stood and proclaimed to that crowd that was about to stone him. He had heard the gospel. He had heard about Jesus. And he was out trying to murder everybody that was believing in Jesus. He had light on the subject. That didn't sway him. You can rest assured he was like those two men on the road to Emmaus, that every time he came face to face with a Christian believer full of the Holy Ghost, something burned in him. Something dealt in him. Or was it Spirit of God? But on that road to Damascus, here come Jesus. And he fell down. And the first words out of his mouth, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" He got sight. He had heard the gospel. He had heard the message. But he wasn't believing it yet. But that day, he got sight. And he believed. And of course, he became one of the greatest preachers of the gospel the world has ever known. Because he had light with sight. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." What is that? That's light with sight. That's being born again by the Spirit of God. That's putting a face with the name Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual insight. It's a spiritual birth. And without it, we cannot see the kingdom of God. We can know about it. We can have the light about it. We can have the knowledge of it. But we can't see it. It's not real. Until we have sight. Until we've been born again by the Spirit of God. It's just words on a page. With no life. Light with sight brings change. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3:14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Once again, believe and sight are the same. See, now, believe is not just knowledge. A lot of times we use them that way. Well, I believe this, or I believe this, or I believe this. But rightfully, we should say, I have knowledge of this, and I have knowledge of this, and I have knowledge of this. Unless you really have sight, then you believe what you know. Yeah. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? I know what's right, but I'm really struggling. Brother Lucas testified about it tonight. Oh, I know how I'm supposed to respond, but I'm really struggling. And what is that? I'm having a unbelief moment. I'm not really believing the word if I fall prey to the darkness. Do you know that everybody has an evil twin? An evil twin. I'm not talking about some other man that looks just like me and acts just like me. That would be an evil twin. That'd be bad for everybody. No. That old man and that new man, they're twins. They're the same people. But one of them's darkness and one of them's light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So we see that we can't get away from walking in the light. We can't get away of just knowing the light. We have to believe the light. I asked you when we began service, do you believe prayer changes things? Or do you just know prayer changes things? See, there's the difference. That's why Jesus made the emphasis. When you ask, believe. It's not enough to know I need to pray. It's enough to pray, and I know it will be heard. Woo! Praise our God. Light with sight. It changes my life. It transforms my life. Hallelujah. And so we see then the light in 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. All these are terminologies of the Old Testament that set Israel apart from all the other people. You see, nobody liked Israel. Guess what? Nobody still likes Israel. This little small nation over in the Middle East that the whole wide world will eventually be against. One little nation. Why do they dislike Israel so much? Light. It's been declared in God's word, by God, multitudes of times, these are my people. And thus, everybody wants to destroy them. But guess what? You're now God's people. And everybody wants to destroy you. Your faith. They want to destroy your faith. They want to bring you to a place of doubt, fear, and unbelief. But you have a greater weapon called light. Life. That life inside of us will become the light of men. Hallelujah. Because I'm alive on the inside, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. But it's not just affecting me. It's affecting all those that I'm around. Hallelujah. Because he's working on the outside of me to where it can be seen and manifest. Hallelujah. This is why we need the seriousness of the hour. Because you and I are ambassadors of Christ. That used to be a number one word that everybody used. We are ambassadors for Christ. That means we are the representative of Jesus Christ on the face of this earth. And so we have to present Jesus Christ as he is. And I guess that's why the scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. That light to shine among men. We've got to get a little more serious about turning on the light. I mean, we voice it, we preach it, we want to see the miracles, we want to see the power of God. But where's your witness? Where's your light? There will be no power of God if there is no light. Because the light brings life to men. You see, even the Benny Hinn's can stir up a miraculous, quote unquote. But what good does that do if there's no light? What good is a miracle going to do if there is no light to shine forth from our lives? You see, church, the miracle is just an attention getter. It's the light and the life of the believers that lead them on in to the fold. Hallelujah. The miracle's not going to save them. It's going to get their attention so they can see the light. Hallelujah. Praise our God. You see, we're that chosen generation. We're that royal priesthood. We're that holy nation. We're that peculiar people. That we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Woo! Hallelujah. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In you is life, and that life will be the light of men. Hallelujah. That is your calling. Hallelujah. That is my calling. That is every believer's calling. Hallelujah. It's not option C. There is no options in the kingdom of God. You're called to be saints. You're called to be a chosen generation. You're called to be a royal priesthood. You're called to be a holy nation. You're called to be a peculiar people. We're all called to a higher level in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Joint heirs. We have an inheritance. We read about that in one of these scriptures that we shared. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. Nobody will argue with that. Don't think that's a believer. And in him is no darkness at all. Wow. There's no darkness in God. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Wow. If the light that is in thee is darkness, great is that darkness. You see, if I've got fellowship with the Father and I've got fellowship with the Son, I'm going to be walking in light. Praise God. Everything good. Everything bright, everything holy, everything right, everything worthy, all that I should. I'm going to dwell on everything good. Jesus Christ, the Word. Hallelujah. We have the written Word. Jesus Christ is the living Word. We've got Word everywhere. Available to us because we have Jesus Christ available via the Spirit of God. Amen. The Word of God can only come alive by the Spirit of God. There's got to be life in me before I will see the light of the glorious Word of God. I'm going to close with Psalm 119, verse number 18. It says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You see, from time to time, we just need to make it our prayer. Lord, open my eyes so I can have sight to go along with the light that you're bringing unto me so it can become power in my heart and in my life. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about having that power with God. What is that? That's having that single eye and being full of light and allowing that light to dictate my path. Amen. Praise God. Not leaning to my own understanding. That's the first step to darkness. But putting my trust in the Lord, that's light. That he might direct my paths, that's sight. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I want to see Jesus. That's not saying that I expect him to show up here at this altar of prayer in a physical form. That's a prayer saying that I want to see Jesus with that spiritual man and those spiritual eyes by the Spirit of God to be where he becomes more of a reality than this chair in my hand. Because see, I know this chair is real. I've got a hold of it. And I want a reality of Jesus Christ just like that. Because I can have it through the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. And that reality, yes, I talk about it a lot because there's too many folks that don't have it. they don't have a reality of the nearness of Jesus Christ. They are serving the Lord afar off. Their sight is fuzzy. Now, how many wears glasses in here? How many supposed to wear glasses in here? Now, I know for a fact, because she's my daughter, if she takes off her glasses, she just sees me as a blob, probably. Yeah, she can't see clear. Yeah. Well, see, that's what it's like when we try to follow Jesus afar off. We can't see it clear, and that's why we stumble. That's why we fall. That's why we can't stand for Jesus. That's why we can't handle peer pressure. Because he's too far away. I don't have the reality that he's right here. Now tell me, Tony. If I'm sitting right here, are you going to do some type of disobedience while I'm sitting right here? No. Because you have a great reality that I am right here. Don't you? How many's ever stepped up on your child in the midst of their disobedience and just stand behind them? And then all of a sudden they look up and you go, what are you doing? You know, they just got that sheep, deer in the headlights. Look, I had a circumstance that happened today at school like that. You know, it's just like when you catch them red-handed, it's like, what is it? They got a great reality. The teacher's standing right there. And if you just come up behind them and stand, all of a sudden they know you're there. And they're busy. Because before you step there, they were just looking around. Yeah. See, that's what it's like when you have a reality of authority by your side. Now tell me, what are you going to do if Jesus is right by your side? And you know he's there. Are you going to go ahead and throw out that dirty word? Are you going to go ahead and fly off the handle? Are you going to go ahead and throw something across the room? When you know Jesus is standing right there. See, we don't have that reality sometimes, do we? No, we think he's a million miles away and he doesn't really care what I'm doing right now because I really don't like what's going on. Yeah. Oh, but if you got that reality, oh, but Lord, you are here. You are my strength. You are my helper. And Lord, I am turning away from this. Brother Lucas sitting back there. Brother Lucas had some reality here today that Jesus was with him. Why? Because he had so many opportunities to walk in darkness. The carnal mind is empty in enmity with God because it doesn't believe. When I have that reality that Jesus is with me, I'm going to walk straight. I'm going to do right because he's right by my side. See, how do we get that? We're going to have to learn as the children of God to practice the presence of God. He's a personal Savior. It's a personal Spirit of God. Brother Reed preached it so well. And he wants to be right there with us, in us, leading us, guiding us, helping us. He's a present help in the time of trouble. Do you know what that means? Do you realize that your time of trouble is not what you think your time of trouble is? Your time of trouble is any time you're moving towards darkness instead of light. That's your time of trouble. And he's right there to speak to your heart and say, don't go there. Don't go that way. Don't fall prey to that again. Whew. What is it? That's sight. I see. I perceive. I realize. He's there. But if we don't realize he's there, We're just like that student. We just look everywhere, do anything, just... Oh, light with sight, I know my Redeemer lives because he lives inside of me. Hallelujah. Could I have a piano player here tonight? Amen. Light and sight. How well is your vision of Jesus Christ tonight? Do you see him as he is? Or do you see him as he was? It'll make all the difference in the world when you come to that place and you see him as he is. Hallelujah. Stand with me. God of heaven, Lord, I praise your holy name and I thank you, God, for this great salvation. I thank you, Lord, for your holy word, and I thank you for the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, God, that you speak fathoms to us. Lord God, you encourage our hearts, you encourage our souls. Lord, you press us to draw close unto you, Lord. It's your grace, it's your mercy, it's your kindness towards us, oh God. Hallelujah. To help us to reflect and to look and observe and take note, God. Hallelujah. Of your nearness. In our hearts and in our minds. Hallelujah. God of heaven, I pray strengthen your children this night, Lord. I pray that this message will help us press into the kingdom of God. Press towards the high calling of God. Press towards that prize that the Lord has for us. To press towards the best that you have for our lives. Hallelujah. Let's come around the altars of prayer. Hallelujah. Let's close with a time of prayer here tonight. Hallelujah. And just ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes. I want to see Jesus. I want to see him like I've never seen him before. Hallelujah.